On Friday's Page One, details on a dispute within the Obama administration about killing Islamic militants in Yemen and Somalia. Five central banks move to shore up confidence in Europe's financial system. That buys time for banks that hold debt from Greece and its financially troubled neighbors. And an equities trader armed with only a computer terminal did it again. UBS says it's out $2 billion. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the Obama administration's legal team is divided over killing Islamist militants in Yemen and Somalia. The debate centers on whether the U.S. can target only high-level leaders involved in plots against the U.S. Some in the administration say the military should have the latitude to target low-level soldiers near the Gulf of Aden. Times reporter Charlie Savage says the issue could define the limits of the continuing war on terror. Also on Friday's Page One, the world's central banks agreed to pump dollars into the European banking system. It was a way of easing the pressure from the European debt impasse. Tom Redburn of the International Herald Tribune explains what happens next.
It's not that any particular bank is on the verge of collapse right now, but this is a confidence-boosting measure that they hope will calm the markets and allow them time to work out some of the bigger problems that Europe faces, particularly in terms of resolving the debt situation with Greece and overcoming the real slowdown and weakening of the European economy. The next step is a meeting of the finance ministers from all the countries in Europe. They're going to get together in Poland tomorrow. Their hope is to work out a deal that will make sure that all the countries agree to the bailout plan they've already adopted for Greece, but which hasn't been ratified by the countries yet. And if they can't reach agreement very soon, the markets are likely to attack the euro and the eurozone again. It's a meeting, in fact, which unusually enough is going to feature Timothy Geithner, the U.S. Treasury Secretary. He's expected basically to tell them to get their act together, speak with one voice, and do what is necessary to prevent the financial problems in Europe from spreading to the rest of the world.
Tom Redburn of the International Herald Tribune. UBS says it lost $2 billion because of a renegade equities trader who's been arrested in London. It's a reminder that investment banks are vulnerable to unauthorized trading. UBS says it discovered the irregularities on Wednesday night. Trader Kwiku Adeboli worked with exchange-traded funds that track different stocks or commodities like gold. That's the same kind of thing that Jerome Kerviel did at the French bank Société Générale before he was caught 3 years ago. He ran up $6 billion in losses. Bahrain has been largely off-limits since a crackdown on the revolt there. Times correspondent Anthony Shadid got in, and in this report he tells us sectarian tension is boiling because the crackdown has brought on discrimination against Bahrain's Shiite Muslim majority.
Across the region, Bahrain is seen as the cornerstone of the Arab Revolution. That wasn't the case back in February, when hundreds, even thousands of protesters took it to a landmark roundabout in the island known as Pearl Square. The crackdown that ensued disproportionately targeted Shiites, and some activists have compared the crackdown to apartheid-style repression. The two communities, Sunni and Shiite on the island, never lived in harmony, really. But the degree of resentment and tension between the two communities is unprecedented. Economic woes have accelerated, and the state continues to use violence against its own people in the hopes of frustrating demands for reform. Across the Arab world, there's the onset of Islamists in Egypt, the fear of civil war in Syria, and the prospect of anarchy in Yemen. But Bahrain offers an altogether different example. Even where a crackdown succeeds, there's the threat of more violence ahead.
Times correspondent Anthony Shadid. Newark's new school superintendent has made recruiting new principals her first big push. She says there was no clear selection process for too long, so she created one. Then she hired 17 new principals. 11 are under age 40, 7 from outside Newark. One is Raymond Peterson. He was the founding principal of Bard High School Early College in New York. He's coming out of retirement to start a similar school in Newark. Kurt Cobain claimed that song made Seattle the most livable city in the U.S. It's been 20 years since he and the grunge band Nirvana soared to stardom. Times reporter William Yardley says Nirvana helped bring the Pacific Northwest out of isolation. He says Seattle has rebuilt itself around high technology and global commerce, and newcomers who make peace with the weather. Inside Friday's Times, British Prime Minister David Cameron and French President Nicolas Sarkozy went to Libya in a show of support for rebel leaders. They're the first world leaders to go there since Colonel Muammar al-Qaddafi's ouster. They promised to keep up the NATO bombing until the last of Qaddafi's supporters surrenders. NASA has found a planet that's out there dancing with two stars. Astronomers say the Kepler telescope made the discovery. The find is the first planet known to be orbiting two stars at once. That means two sunrises and two sunsets. The new planet's official name is Kepler-16b, but astronomers are calling it Tatooine after Luke Skywalker's home planet in the Star Wars movies, which also had two suns. Russian businessman Mikhail Prokhorov quit the pro-business political party he'd headed for 5 months. He said it's a puppet of the Kremlin that's micromanaged by a deputy to Russian President Dmitry Medvedev. Party operatives had been maneuvering to oust Prokhorov all week. They didn't like his leadership style and staffing decisions. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.